Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. It's Tuesday, August 19th. I know we're coming at you a little late. We're going to be in the afternoons a lot going forward. However, Wednesday and Friday this week, we will have morning shows, so that is good news. Tuesday and Thursday, we will have afternoon shows. And going forward, every Monday will be a morning show to help you set your lineup. Adam Azer, Scott White, now Melchior. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Adam. I've had my head in rankings for the last 3 hours, so hopefully...
Give us a taste. What'd you do?
Well, the biggest thing was I added Josh Harrison and Brock Holt to shortstop. Josh Harrison checks in fifth in Roto at shortstop, sixth in points.
Wow.
Since he took over as an everyday player, which was about May 18th, he's been the number one shortstop eligible player in head-to-head leagues. So if anything, you could say I'm underselling him there.
That's incredible. Al?
Well, hello.
What have you been doing all day?
I have been writing the waiver wire column.
Give us a taste.
Michael Hurkum is on vacation.
Who to pick up?
So, actually, I already just picked up Matt Shoemaker in two leagues and put in a claim in a third because in writing the column, I realized he's a two-star pitcher next week with two home starts. And that's pretty nice.
Yeah. I thought he pitched on Sunday. Maybe he pitched on Friday. Interesting.
Well, that's how it lines up right now, anyhow.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about prospects. A lot of them were in action yesterday. The good and the bad, the Polancos and the Alcantaras. Email of the day is from Adam. He says, how do you pronounce Matt S-Z-C-Z-U-R on the Cubs? More importantly, how does Herc pronounce it?
And I have the answer to both questions.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, of course, it's pronounced Caesar.
Yes, Matt Caesar.
And Herc, being on vacation, that's why I'm writing his column, I had to text him to find out his...
Oh, you have the real answer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And his answer exactly is, you pronounce it like Max Scherzerer. So, I say Caesar, he says Scherzerer.
Scherzerer. Hmm. Okay, well, yeah, he's not fantasy relevant, is he? Matt Caesar?
I would say not. He stole some bases at AAA, and he used to be a pretty good prospect, but just hasn't developed the way they'd hoped, and I think he'll just be playing a reserve role for them.
The big news, Andrew McCutchen is expected back today. White Sox first rounder Carlos Rodon, top three pick. He is possibly going to be called up this year, but it will likely be to pitch out of the bullpen. Boston demoted Jackie Bradley Jr. and called up Mookie Betts. The Red Sox announcers, Jerry Remy, was saying how Jackie Bradley Jr. really needs like a guy to sit there and just revamp his swing. Because his swing is just not good enough. So hopefully they can do that down in the minors.
Yep. They got 3 weeks left, I think, in the
something
minor
like
league
that,
season.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So you guys like Betts?
If for no other reason that I don't like him, it's just because, again, it seems like a sort of a crowded outfield situation there. So I don't know how much playing time he'll get.
And Pedro Alvarez played first base for all of you who picked up Ike Davis. Sorry. What do you think about Alvarez now?
Did you tell them to pick up Ike Davis?
I picked him up.
Okay. So this is kind of...
I'm sitting there with Herc. I said, well, he's facing a lot of righties. The matchups are fine for deep league. Let's just pick up Ike Davis.
They haven't stuck him at first base yet, so... Well,
Alvarez.
Now they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they did. So, yeah, I would say if they're willing to cross that threshold... As they've shown they are, Davis's days may be numbered, and Alvarez presumably is back to being an everyday player. Not that he's a must-start stud as an everyday player, but this is why you held on to him if you did.
Monday's standouts. Go ahead.
Is it more like Monday's standout?
Well, I only had one.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean... They were only 8 games. I had a lot of guys who stood out. I just have them in other areas of the notes, like all the bullpen guys. That was probably the most interesting stuff. But before we get to Mejia and Rosenthal and Soriano, who stood out to you guys on Monday?
Who stood out to me was Steve Pierce.
Oh.
Because just like that, really, just like that, last 2 games, 5-for-10, home run, 3 doubles. I think 3 of those hits came yesterday, 2 the day before.
Yep.
And so there may be... We may not be done with him just yet. We may be learning now that he's actually getting enough playing time to see what kind of player he is. He may fall into that streaky category where, for weeks at a time, he's doing nothing for you, but then also for weeks at a time, he can perform like a high level player. So if nothing else, I think this buys him a longer look from the Orioles. I didn't move him way up in my rankings or anything. He's still outside my top 70 outfielders, I think. But in five outfielder leagues, if you need help there or with a corner infielder, he's back to being highly available in fantasy. A lot of people gave up on him.
All right. Al, anything for you?
Yeah. Jason Hayward. And actually, this sort of relates to a little conversation we had on chat yesterday, because I had pointed out Brett Gardner ranking, what, 13th? Among outfielders in points leagues, which just blew my mind. And then you made sort of the obvious observation, which is, well, he gets a lot of plate appearances.
He does, right.
You know, and then looking at Hayward's in the box score and looking at how he's done lately since he's gone back to the leadoff spot, maybe he, you know, I need to just stop thinking about him as this, you know, all-around, you know, power, speed, batting average threat and view him as kind of a Brett Gardner, Nick Markakis type. Really more Gardner, because I think he's going to give you some steals.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody
who's
going
to mention Markakis too. Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody who's going to have value partly in virtue by the fact that he's going to come up a lot and then score some runs and hit for average and give you some stolen bases, but not a lot. You know, and forget the power.
Okay, you like him in Roto though?
Yeah, not as much.
Right. And I got Kyle Hendricks as an obvious standout. Whip still under 1, 5-1, 1.66 ERA, 7 innings at the Mets, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. And, you know, Scott, you said it last time, he's not going to strike a lot of guys out. He's a sinker baller, but he's good. Mm-hmm. He's got to be must-own, right?
And I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
And he asked me what's up in the column, so here's a little teaser, because Hendricks is one of the most added players, so he makes the cut there. But if you look at any sort of or all sorts of luck indicators, he's been having a lot of luck of the good variety. 86% strand rate, 156 batting average against on ground balls, which is you know, about 75, 80 points below where it would normally be. And he's had 34 fly balls hit off of him, and not a single one has fallen in for a hit when you'd expect at least maybe 3 or 4 to. And that's a small thing, but it just, it all adds up to his numbers really being, I mean, I want to say inflated, but they're small. The numbers that matter are small, the ERA and the WHIP. And he's a good pitcher, but I really don't think he's anywhere close to must own.
Kyle Hendricks, Jimmy Nelson, Danny Salazar, rank.
I would go Jimmy Nelson still ahead of Hendricks, and then Salazar third. I sounds like I'm higher than Al on Hendricks now. He doesn't have, obviously, the track record of like a Rick Porcello or Tanner Roark, but I think it's kind of a poor man's version of what they are. He's pretty close to must own. He doesn't give up home runs. He doesn't walk batters. I mean, that's 2 out of 3 of the FIP equation, you know?
What's your
ranking? I would flip Salazar and Hendricks there.
So Nelson, Hendricks, Salazar for you?
Yeah.
Or Nelson, Salazar, Hendricks.
Got it.
Yeah. In the bullpen, guys, Trevor Rosenthal, last 3 appearances, 4 hits in 2 1/3, 4 earned, 6 walks, 3 strikeouts. He gave up a walk, a stolen base, and then I think a single or a double to Jay Bruce and blew the save. Henry Mejia. There's like no way he doesn't have season-ending surgery. And there's no way he keeps his job one way or another, performance or injury, right?
That's my thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you were saying, we were talking earlier, I didn't realize you were writing this column for Hergum, but it makes sense now. You were telling
it all
me...
all makes sense.
Yeah, you were telling me middle relievers, basically, not closers, not Sparps, the most added one, it wasn't Jeurys Familia, even though it seems like he's on the verge of getting saves for the Mets. It was Pat Neshek, who has a great ERA and whip, and we talked the other day on the show, on Fantasy Baseball Today, about... In roto leagues, if you're trailing an ERA and WHIP, maybe you go for some of those middle relievers that nobody's had a reason to pick up before, like Neshek. But even though Rosenthal himself is struggling, I don't think it's so clear Neshek would replace him as closer. I don't think it's likely anyone replaces him as closer. when in New York's case with Familia, like you said, Mejia, there's plenty of reason for him to lose his job, and then Familia would be the obvious replacement.
What about Black? What about Vic Black? I remember they said something about Mejia or Familia having a lot of work lately, along with Mejia, and they wanted to sort of make sure they didn't wear him down. Do you think Vic Black is an option? He's been very good.
I do think he's an option. Yeah, I would be concerned that maybe there'd be a committee situation, you know, because moving to Familia to just maybe a lower leverage role or keeping him in the role he's in, it's not necessarily going to cut down on his work. But if you have him and Vic Black maybe sharing closing duties,
right?
Yeah, it's that would be something that put a damper on Familia's value.
Tyler Clippard got a save chance yesterday. Rafael Soriano did not pitch. And you always love it when you've got a struggling closer, when someone else gets an opportunity and blows it. So it just makes that struggling closer like what's kept happening with Joe Nathan.
Yep.
Right? Jabba Chamberlain would get an opportunity and fail. Soria comes over and pitches like crap. So yesterday, Clippard gave up a home run and blew the save. So that was his fourth blown save.
And this is nothing more than gut feeling. I didn't. Well, it's not just nothing more than gut feeling. It's Matt Williams saying, Soriano's still my closer. I just need to give him a breather right now. The gut feeling is that I'm actually believing him and that Soria hasn't really been bad enough to lose his job. And obviously, like you said, Clippard didn't seize the day here.
No, he did not. Injuries news and notes. Felix Hernandez will make his next start. Salvador Perez left yesterday's game with knee discomfort. It was precautionary. And Eric Kratz replaced him and homered twice at Minnesota. Bartolo Colon, sad news. His mother passed away, so he missed yesterday's start, and he's on the bereavement list. Philadelphia apparently is the favorite, according to the New York Post, to sign Rusney Castillo, the Cuban outfielder, potentially second baseman. Baltimore looks like they're going to call up Miguel Gonzalez for this weekend, perhaps to replace Ubaldo Jimenez in the rotation. Byron Buxton out for the year with a concussion. Do you guys think CJ Cron is still worth stashing?
He's hardly played at all, right?
He's in the minors.
He's minors, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so no, that I don't think it's...
I missed that one until I was setting a lineup and I saw the M next to his name.
And I was like, excuse me? You haven't noticed always... him because he hasn't...
But they
like,
could
even,
use
even
him.
When he was up, he wasn't doing anything.
I don't get it. He wasn't doing anything when they started making him a part-time guy, but I feel like when he was a full-time or mostly full-time guy, he was better than Colin Cowgill and Efren Navarro. So I just don't get it. Like, they could use him.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't understand it either, but clearly they're more committed to playing Navarro, so I actually don't think Cron is worth stashing.
My approach was I dropped him in one league where there were, like, decent options, but in another league I didn't really want to drop him because I felt like if he got called up, he would be a high priority. So I just felt like if that's the case, I was holding on to Cron. But obviously...
I mean, I feel like somebody like Michael Taylor, just in case... Jason Worth can't play through the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I feel like he's worth stashing over Cron at this point.
That's a good call. Chris Coughlin was out with a sore big toe, and Matt Zegar started in his place.
You know what that is?
What's
it? It's the captain of the toes.
The big toe?
The big toe, yeah.
Is that from something?
Yeah, Seinfeld.
Oh, I didn't know that. I watched a great episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm last night. The ski lift. You ever see it?
Haven't seen that one, no.
Oh, hilarious. Manny Machado out at least another week. They still don't have a timetable for his sprained knee. And Aroldis Chapman day-to-day with shoulder soreness. Remember, he walked 4 in his last appearance. Brandon Phillips returned. He went 0-for-4 with a walk and 2 strikeouts. Andrelton Simmons batting 2nd. All right.
Boy, 200 OBP
you
yesterday.
You buried this in the notes.
Yeah, well, he can't hit this year. But he couldn't really hit that well last year, but he scored a whole bunch of runs. He did have, like, 17 home runs last year. He has, like, what, 5 this year?
Sounds right.
Simmons.
Yeah.
But he homered Sunday, I think. And he batted 2nd yesterday.
He homered just yesterday.
He homered yesterday? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Hayward and Simmons leading
That's
off
right.
the game. It went back
Right. So this is kind of cool. At his slash line, if you look at him batting 7th, 8th, 2nd, there's not huge differences, but he has scored 17 runs in 23 games as a number 2 hitter. And 5 runs in 29 games as a number 7 hitter. And 13 runs in 43 games as a number 8 hitter. So I think it's a big difference batting 2nd for him. And hopefully it stays that way. I don't know if it will, but here's to hoping. If you have anything to add, say it, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Can think of a bunch of other shortstops I'd rather own.
Yeah, yeah. Emerging, I was just saying, like,
right now. Like, I think the Baez, Santana, now you can add Brock Holt to that mix. Brock Holt suddenly becomes a lot more rosterable as a shortstop.
There's no question, but if you're stuck with Andrelton Simmons, I think this is a positive development.
No doubt.
Prospects. Okay. Let's talk about hitting prospects. How much we should invest in them going forward based on what we've seen last year, this year, years past. Because I believe they are generally disappointing. But then again, Gregor Polanco, since being promoted on June 10th, with fairly underwhelming numbers, is still the number 6 outfielder in fantasy. Number 16.
Oh.
Number 16, since being promoted. And that's 2 months now. Javier Baez, since being called up on August 5th, number 3 shortstop in Roto, number 7 in points. Do you have any overall thoughts that you want to give on hitting prospects before we break them down?
I'm not sure anything has changed as far as my approach goes. We haven't had the Yasiel Puig, Mike Trout type impact call up this year. Nobody who just set the world on fire right away. But it's not like those are the only examples of that. We had Anthony Rizzo 2 years ago with the Cubs, hitting .285 with 15 home runs in about half a season. That's the only one that comes top of mind. I would agree.
What about Springer this year?
Sure, Springer. I would say fit into that category. He was great when he was healthy.
He was horrible for a month, average, and then he was great.
Yeah, the batting average wasn't so great, but everything else was.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you're probably right in that most of the time, as in more than 50% of the time, they don't end up helping you that much, at least not in a mixed league. Yeah. But those times they do, for how little it costs you to get them, like, that could be the biggest move you make all season. So it's kind of a lottery ticket every time one of these guys gets called up, which is why it's worth the hype. And look, it's taken me years of being here to come around to this, because for the most part, I used to just ignore them just because the percentages weren't so great. But missing out on the big, big impact breakthrough types enough has taught me that, yeah, it's worth pursuing them, at least initially, and then maybe backing down when it doesn't go right. So that would be my takeaway. And, I probably would have said that coming into the season, too.
Yeah, and I'll echo that. And I mean, the fact that, you know, one of the examples that you threw out about somebody who, you know, we perceive as an impact prospect, Mike Trout, actually wasn't even that good the first time around.
Not the first time.
Yeah.
But he came up in the middle of the next season, so it wasn't like he was universally owned at the time then.
Right. But, you know, just the point is that, you know, I haven't given up on any of these players making an impact rest of season. You never know when things might kick in. And, yeah, it might not be this year at all. As far as Baez goes, I think he's come exactly as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Baez or you've been starting him, I think you got to be happy with that.
Let's talk about him. .233, 5 homers, 9 RBI. Does the 2 walks to 24 strikeouts concern you, or are we just seeing this is who he is?
I think this is who he is, and I hope, I don't think this year, but I hope, you know, in a keeper league situation that'll get better. I don't really expect the batting average or the strikeout to walk ratio to really be that much better this year.
How about Arizmendi Alcantara, batting .208 now, and since he was called up on July 9th, he is the number 15 shortstop in points, and Alcantara is number 16 in Roto, and he's batting .159 in August.
And up until recently, he too was delivering numbers that looked pretty much in line with what I had expected, which would be enough to start him as kind of a lower end option, but startable. And I think he can bust out of this slump and be that good going forward.
Yeah, I would agree. The one drawback is really where we see him slumping now, and that's batting average. I would not expect, at least this early in his career, better than like .250.
Okay, how about Xander Bogaerts? Hitless in his last 4 games, batting .226 on the year, and in August, .107, .161 on base, .143 slugging. Ew.
Yeah, he's a head scratcher for me because he kind of did it backwards. Like, he came up and really delivered on every expectation. For a while, the power wasn't there, but then it started to come around. He was an on-base machine at the beginning of the year, and it just seemed like he was a lot more polished than you'd expect for a prospect of his age, and that pointed to greatness, which is what his pedigree suggested anyway. And then this, I don't really know how this fits in with the, you know, the development, the projections going forward. I don't know. I mean, obviously he didn't have it quite figured out yet, and the league caught up to him, so to speak. But how long is it going to take him for him to adjust? I would think it would be sooner than later, but I thought it would have already happened by now.
Okay, and this one I think is even more befuddling, perhaps. Oscar Tavares. He has been terrible. He has one extra base hit in his last 14 games, and Tavares is batting .214. Still 61% owned. Is he a lost cause this year?
I tend to think he is. You know, again, you never know, but you're going to ask me to you know, pick a side here. I'm going to say I think he is, and I would cut bait. You know, and you read all kinds of reports, you hear all kinds of things, but I remember not too long after his initial call-up this year, and I think it was St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but it was some outlet where there was a source saying, when this guy gets called up, he's going to need a reality check.
Yeah, and that's what Joe Buck was saying on a broadcast, that when they traded Alan Craig, the Cardinals players weren't happy about it because they didn't like Tavares' work ethic, and they were disappointed that the team just handed him the job by trading away Alan Craig.
And I might have taken that report less seriously if Tavares, if I felt like he really established himself at AAA. But this is somebody who has dealt with injuries. I think, to me, it seemed like he was a bit rushed once he got healthy. And he could have maybe stood more time in the minors. And then you couple that again with the reports that he, you know, there were those who thought he wasn't ready. And, yeah, so this doesn't really surprise me. It doesn't give me much hope for a turnaround this season.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that.
Then let's move on. Six up, none down. Jay Bruce, you little bastard Jay Bruce. 2-for-5 with a home run and a double and 4 RBI yesterday. You know, when some people finally sit him. He's now homered in 2 of his last 3 games, and he's 9 RBI in his last 4.
Yeah, I'm surprised because I remembered that conversation from Monday, and then I looked back at his game log, and I was like, he just had a huge game the other day. Like,
it was in Colorado.
I don't care.
I do.
It's Jay Bruce.
Because
you know
he's
he
had
go
false
off like that.
He's had false starts before. Like,
false positives.
Yeah, he has had these good stretches, and then he goes horribly cold.
Yeah.
My concern with Bruce was that he came off the DL too early.
That was a long time ago.
It was, but it happens where guys play the entire year hurt.
How has he done since then? I know there's been a lot of ups and downs. And
I think overall pretty bad.
Typical Jay Bruce fashion.
I would say he's batting around .200, would be my guess.
Right,
or at
I'll
least before the weekend.
I'll look it up.
Starling Marte homered twice. That gives him 8 hits and 3 homers in his last 4 games.
Yeah, still not quite buying into it. I mean, look, obviously somebody you must start in Roto. Probably start in points leagues, but not as high end as I thought he would be back in March.
Ben Revere, he's 67% owned, and he is the number 37 outfielder in points leagues, number 24 in Roto this year. Ben Revere is batting .315 with 36 steals. He has no power. He doesn't drive in runs, but you know that.
He had a home run this year, didn't he?
He had one home run.
Yeah.
He's batting .383 in his last 25 games, but even with that, number 10 outfielder in Roto, number 21 in points over the last 28 days. That's with a .383 batting average.
Rotisserie, Ben Revere or Gregory Polanco?
Polanco.
I agree with that.
Yeah, see, I got this question on Twitter today, and I wanted to say Polanco, and I felt like Polanco was the right answer.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of the prospect thing. Do you think this extended season might take Polanco and he might
Sluggle?
He might struggle.
Snuggle?
In September.
No.
He's just an old Sluggle bear.
You don't think so? Not concerned?
No, I'm not concerned about that, being one way or the other.
I don't really worry about it for hitters. Pitchers, obviously, the whole innings thing, but even when they... don't get shut down. By the way, Jay Bruce has been back. It was about May 20-something, mm-hmm. 227.
Now do it before the Colorado series.
Well, lower than 227.
Yeah.
Over that period of time, you think it'll make a big difference?
Kind
before
of.
The whole
I think
series
it'll be like 10.
Before that whole
I
game?
Think it'll be like 212. Maybe not that, but 215.
227.
Really?
Yeah. Before the whole Colorado series.
I didn't
before that game Sunday.
Yeah, it's a lot of bets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
No, it's all right.
I'm a moron. I'm sorry.
Don't
next
be hard
up,
on yourself.
Nick
you
Markakis.
You just hosted a 100-minute
oh, man.
Fantasy football show.
Oh, oh man. 105 minutes, I think. Nick Markakis, 3-for-5 with a home run yesterday at the White Sox. And number 18 outfielder in points, number 36 in Roto. Good year for him. But really, possibly just because he leads off, because his slugging percentage is so low, and he doesn't steal bases.
It is low, but I feel like it's a lot better than it was last year. Last year, he looked like Spin Revere, except without the speed. Yeah, 356 slugging percentage last year, and that was a huge drop. This is... It's still low by like his career standards, but it's at least respectable.
Yeah,
with,
it's respectable.
With what else he does, he's shown he can be useful still.
11 homers, 63 runs scored. That's pretty good. Adam LaRoche, guys, he's heating up right now. 3 home runs in his last 6, 6 home runs in his last 12. LaRoche is the number 14 first baseman in fantasy, but that does include a DL stint.
And he almost always gets hot at the end of the year. So even though I'm usually pretty quick to dismiss him, this is one of the few players where I look at those early season, late season trends and think there could be something to it.
I think the whole world needs to get on board.
Yeah, you've been his biggest
fan. The metamorphosis of Adam LaRoche.
What a walker he's been.
What a walker, and he's cut down on the strikeouts. It's kind of like... Oh, man, I was thinking about this earlier, trying to come up with a good comparison for Adam LaRoche. The strikeout, because he has a 376 on-base percentage now, even though the batting average is more typical by his standards, 276.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to think of a good one off the top
of my
head.
Well, I've got one.
Go for it.
I've got a fantasy team name for next year if you're a Nationals fan, assuming he's there. Papa LaRoche. Like Papa Roach?
Yeah, and I get it. I just would never do that.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
I was buying Scott some time.
Yeah.
Six up, number six is Oswaldo Arcia. Homered in 2 straight games, 20% owned.
He's got some sick power.
He sure does.
But Arcia.
So interested?
Actually, I take that back. Actually, this week did start him in a 12-team Roto League. Can't recall what the specific injured player was that I was replacing, but that's the ceiling of his value right now is, you know, you need a waiver outfielder in a 12-team league. Yeah.
I thought of who the comparison was. Alex Gordon.
Oh, okay.
If anything, LaRoche strikes out less than Gordon and maybe has a little more home run power.
Oswaldo Arcia or Josh Willingham?
I think I'd go with Arcia.
I would too.
Oswaldo Arcia or Reimer Liriano?
I like Arcia better.
Yeah.
So you like him better than Travis Snyder?
Certainly. Yeah. Well, I just don't know how much playing time Snyder's going to get now.
Right. Good point. Nobody down today, so rotation. What'd you think of C.J. Wilson yesterday? Only 5 walks and 5 1/3. Pretty good.
Hooray.
1 run at the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of Bleck.
There's no way you can start him now, right?
No.
I don't think so.
Droppable?
I would in shallower leagues. I moved him down in my rankings to 73rd.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Do you see the quote from him about a week ago?
No.
I think this is prior to the...
Was it about his hair?
No, about his strikes thrown percentage.
Oh, yes. Yes, you showed me that article.
Yeah.
Right.
Where
it
was pretty funny. Yeah.
He was like, okay, it makes sense.
Well, no, because the funny part was that, you know, somebody was... I think a coach or somebody was saying 60% strikes, which is something we've been talking about with Wilson. You can't really succeed throwing fewer than 60% of your pitches for strikes, and somebody pointed that out to him, and he said, oh, yeah, That's easy. Thanks. Why didn't I think of that?
Oh, right,
I'll do that. He says, you know, that's like getting advice from the drunk guy in the 18th row.
Yeah.
Hey, throw strikes.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, buddy. Irvin Santana struggled yesterday, gave up 3 home runs, but he had given up 2 home runs in his previous 10 starts. And Santana has the lowest home run rate of his career. And this is a guy who's probably his biggest issue was home runs, at least one of them. So, you know, just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I cannot figure him out. He is the most enigmatic pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
3.71 ERA, not so good. 13-6, quite good.
And it just seems like it should be so much better than that with all the swings and misses he gets and up to this point not giving up home runs. But he's gone through stretches before. He went through one with the Angels where he seemed to have tamed the home run beast and then, you know, that was short-lived. So
I also think that other than his, like, I don't know, whatever it was, 6 horrible starts that he had and toward the beginning of the year after he got off to a great start and then he was terrible, I feel like he's been pretty good other than that, no?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Jason Vargas, another good one. He's having a career year. By far the lowest ERA of his career at 3.17, lowest whip of his career, lowest walk rate of his career.
Yeah, it's still hard to get. It's kind of like Bartolo Colon, and I know I bet if Herc was here, he would be trumpeting Vargas.
Or chastising you for comparing Vargas to Colon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, just compare their numbers. Vargas, you could argue, is better. I have Colon higher in my rankings, but it's just kind of like Colon in that it's hard, even knowing that he has a career-best ERA, and even knowing he's been a quality fantasy option in the past, it's just hard to get excited about him because the strikeouts are low, and his bad starts are really bad. But they've been few and far between, and basically just at home this year, which doesn't make much sense because it's a good place to pitch. Where do I have him now? I have him 84th now, so right ahead of Tsuyoshi Wada, right behind Brandon McCarthy. Like, he's in that mix of matchup streaming types.
Fringy starting pitchers, rank these guys. Kyle Hendricks, Mike Leake, Vance Worley, Bud Norris. Kyle Hendricks, Mike Leake, Vance Worley, Bud Norris.
Really close between Hendricks and Worley for me up at the top. In spite of the start, I think I'll go Worley, then Hendricks. And then it's very close between Leake and Norris. I'll go Worley, Hendricks, Leake, Norris.
And I go Hendricks, Leake, Worley, Norris. So my question for Al is, why do you like Worley so much?
Because he said, and look, I know this was a miserable start. Although it's one of those miserable starts that makes you feel as good as you can feel in a miserable start because he, you know, kind of recomposed himself after a terrible first inning.
Yeah.
But no, just really good control. And even though he's a pitch to contact guy, he's been somebody who's, managed to have a strikeout rate that's not going to absolutely kill you because he gets a lot of called strikes. Keeps the ball in the park for the most part. So it's not great, but like I said, similar appeal to Hendricks, similar values, similar appeal. And he's not going to walk guys, not going to give up a lot of home runs.
Nice call on Mike Leake. Yeah, okay start. Nothing special. 7 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts.
Who are you talking to?
To Al, who said sit him.
Oh. I thought you were saying start him because he pitched 7 innings and got a win.
Got like 10 fantasy points. Something like
in
that.
In a win?
Did he get a win?
Didn't he? I thought
I
he did.
I don't think so. No. He didn't. He got a no decision.
All right. My bad.
Blame the scoring.
I have a point to make about 2-star pitchers. So while I look something up here that I forgot to look up earlier, please tell me if you still want to own any of these guys. Trevor May, who's got a bit of a control issue, I'd say. 13 walks to 3 strikeouts in 9 innings. Brandon Workman, Vidal Nuno, Ender Inciarte, who has an 18-game hitting streak, during which he's batting just .316, which really isn't that good on an 18-game hitting streak, and Jerome Williams, who likes Carlos Ruiz quite a bit as his new catcher. Go discuss.
Trevor May, understatement of the season with the control problem. And he didn't have great control in the minors, but yeah, I was very excited about his call-up and figured, walk a few guys, but get his strikeouts and be pretty effective, and the control has just gone completely MIA. So I picked him up in one deep league and already have dropped him there. So that's disappointing. You mentioned Nuno and Workman. At this point, I'd rather have one of them, with Workman being the clear favorite among the three for me.
All right, I'm trying to make this point about two-star pitchers, right?
Go for it.
Let's look at number 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Chris Sale. Bad example because he had a DL stint. So let's look at number 11, Madison Bumgarner. 426.5 fantasy points this year. And I think this is the only format I'm going to make the case in, because Roto, you got whip and ERA and all that. But if we're just strictly talking fantasy points, 426. So let's see who has 213 fantasy points. That would be Tommy Malone, Kyle Kendrick, Marcus Stroman. Travis Wood has 221. Travis Wood basically is having half as good a season as Madison Bumgarner. So doesn't it really make sense to almost always start two start pitchers? Because you probably wouldn't have to start him over Bumgarner anyway. Yeah. But, like, two-star pitchers in points leagues, if you take these horrible pitchers who've had terrible years and you just double up their point totals, now they're elite.
Yeah, but you're not really... Because I've gone through that exercise before, too.
Oh, good.
And you're not really, like... You're not really accounting for the variation of starts. Like, Travis Wood... Basically, for half a season, he's been a complete dud. Like,
not him.
Negatives left and right.
But Mike Leake.
Even if it's more scattered throughout, there's a lot of negatives in there, and you just don't know if those best starts, the ones that are bringing their points all the way up to 200, whatever, which isn't very high, are going to happen in the two-start week. Like, if they had two starts every single week and the good pitchers had one start every single week, it would make sense to just go with the two-star guys every time and trust that they would come out ahead in the long run. But you don't get the luxury of choosing when they have their two-star weeks.
Right. Okay.
And,
yeah.
And then there's also the factor that you're playing with a limited roster, and if you're picking up every single two-star pitcher, no matter how crappy he is,
it's not necessarily about picking him up. It's a starter sit question where, like, would you start a two-start Mike Leake always over a one-start, like, Scott Kazmir?
No way.
Unless he had terrible matches.
No, but again, Scott's 2 points are the key ones, which is, in Leake's case, where is he starting? Because that's going to make a difference. If he's got bad lineups or good parks.
It was this week, okay? It was St. Louis on the road and... like San Diego at home or whatever.
All right. And so, yeah, the parks and the lineups don't scare you that much. But then it gets to Scott's second point, that when you compare Leake, because we had this discussion on Fantasy Baseball Today on Friday. You said, why not rank him higher? Why not recommend him as a start? And it was, you know, I said, well, he might be okay, but here's the eight other guys who are probably going to score even more than Leake. So, yeah, with a limited roster, you can do better.
Yeah.
And there's some other one-star pitcher I almost always would rather shelve than a Scott Kazmir.
And I don't really believe in the philosophy that I just brought up, but I thought about it mathematically. And
oh, a lot of people do it, and I did it not quite to the extreme that I was picking up the Kyle Kendricks of the world, but I did it a couple years ago in a league, you know, just an office league we had set up where hardly anybody was participating, so I could afford to drop like a top 30 pitcher and still trust that I could get him back later for a two-star week, and just made sure I had 5 two-star pitchers every week.
Yeah.
And I ran away with the league. So if you play in a league where not all 10 to 12 owners are paying close attention, you can dominate that way. But is that really the kind of league you want to dominate? You know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. You don't get a medal for that one.
No.
All right, let's do some emails real quick, guys. Paul in Burlington, Ontario. Approve the move. Drop Mesoraco. Pick up Darno. It's a 10-team head-to-head categories league. I'm third heading into the playoffs. It's a keeper league, and we're switching to Roto next season. So he cannot pick up a new player once the playoff starts to fill an injury spot. Do I ride out Mesoraco, or do I pick up Darno now and drop Mesoraco?
I don't approve the move, and I'm not, you know, I guess it's just, you know, playing the hotter hand, but I would just rather have Mesoraco this year, next year.
From Mark, wonder if you can help me out with keepers for next year. 5x5 Roto, 7 keepers, and 2 have to be pitchers. So here are the pitchers. Kluber, Price, Felix, Chapman, and Doolittle. So pick two. Kluber,
at
Price.
At least two, right? Two have to be pitchers,
yeah,
but seven
yeah.
total.
All right, then. We'll come back to that.
Felix and Price are the right. standouts there.
Mauer, Ortiz, Cano, Segura, Donaldson, Gomez, Pence, and Melky. So now we need seven keepers out of that group, out of all the pitchers and hitters.
We need we picked two pitchers, so we need no more than five.
Yeah.
All right. Cano, Gomez, Donaldson, and then things get tough. But I'm going to find a way here to keep Kluber as the third pitcher, I think.
Well, I think he's the obvious next one, yeah.
So yeah. So we got those three hitters. Our three pitchers, and I just...
Three hitters and then one last one.
I'm leaning Ortiz. Yeah, I'm going to... Well, yeah, this is Roto. So I think there I'm going to go Ortiz over Pence.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
I'm going Pence over Ortiz.
Okay. Yeah. Not Chapman?
Nope.
All right. Daniel and Chapel Hill, approve the move. Drop Plouffe, add Pierce.
Well, unless you need a third baseman, yeah, I don't think you lose much dropping Plouffe.
Head-to-head points league, Kadire, Worth, Aoki, or Scott's Flavor of the Week rest of season?
Scott's Flavor of the Week.
No, not over Kadire, Worth.
No.
That's from Ryan, by the way.
I'm going to say Worth. It's with hesitation because I really do worry about the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking maybe Kadire, but deep down, I'd rather go with Worth.
You want me to tell you something that's going to make you worry more about the shoulder if I have time, Adam?
Yeah, go ahead.
AC sprained AC joint in his shoulder, right? He said he made an adjustment to shorten his swing to compensate for the injury. He said he also did it when he was coming back from a wrist injury in 2012. 2012 was the year he hit five home runs in like 350 at-bats.
Oh,
yuck.
So if nice. That's the same adjustment he made, and it may affect him completely differently, but it's not what I want to hear.
And Mike from New Jersey approved the move. 12-team head-to-head points league. I'm in first place. I made this move looking ahead to the playoffs. Dropped Alcantara, added Anibal Sanchez.
Yeah, if it's just a bench spot anyway, I think Sanchez is going to help you more in the playoffs.
Sure.
Thank you, guys. Back tomorrow morning with another podcast. Grade the Trade. We'll talk to you then.